you know, one thing that we're not in short supply of is supply. And that's for all three proteins. And we're really starting to see the impact of that, I think, first and foremost on the pork side of things, where, you know, producer margins there have been in the red for a couple of months. I think the supply story is really going to be an ever-increasing issue for U.S. protein. I think, you know, the chicken producers are going to start to see it, you know, towards the end of this year, and the beef side of things, it'll be maybe 12 months, 18 months before really they start to feel that pressure. But the competition in the meat case continues to rise. What I think is really interesting is that, you know, this African swine fever story that is getting obviously significant attention as it impacts the Chinese market could have really important reverberations across global protein. You know, half of the world's pork is produced and consumed in China. So if that becomes a major trade opportunity for the U.S. or, you know, global meat producers, that could really help, you know, save a lot of the pain that we're starting to just now see in the U.S. protein sector.
What do you hear about the African swine fever situation in China? It's been, you know, fairly quiet again here lately after a lot of initial news. Does it seem that they may be getting this thing contained or not?
Well, I've just returned actually from China a couple of days ago. You know, obviously it is the talk of the town really when it comes to not just protein, but I think food in general. It does seem to be an issue that will be most likely growing in impact. While it has been a few days since we've heard of any new cases, you know, one thing that we're seeing is that there's been a strong government response. And to your point, I think they're doing their darndest to try to contain it. But we do realize, because we've seen other swine fever cases in Eastern Europe and other parts of the world, that's very, very difficult to do, especially when you're talking a hog herd that's as large as it is. So our expectations will continue to see additional cases probably at an ever-increasing rate as we go through 2018. What I think will be the major determination is, you know, what kind of impacts do we see in terms of hog numbers, or do we see this to continue to be a supply chain issue? And that's really where it has started to impact the Chinese pork sector, because of the restrictions on the movement of hogs and wet markets, that's really driven hog prices higher. So they're up about 15% to 20% in just the last month and a half. So we expect that to continue to climb in higher prices, and we think there's a good chance that we'll see more pork being imported into that Chinese market, which is a very good sign, and you know, I think the hog futures market is clearly indicating that optimism. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
But they're not buying pork from the U.S. right now, right?
We do, you know, we will, I think, see that Hong Kong market continue to play a role in getting gray channel product into China. But we also have to remember that the pork trade globally is really dominated by just a few players of the EU, the U.S. and Canada, and to a lesser degree, Brazil. So those four markets account for 90%+ of the pork trade. So as the EU and Canada focus on China, as those, you know, trade opportunities materialize, that's a good thing for the U.S. because that gives us more opportunities to, you know, expand our market share in Japan and Korea or other markets in Asia. So I think as a net beneficiary, the U.S. will definitely be on that list.